Well, I got a couple of questions that I want to ask
before
we do our video.
Far away, Alex.
There's a new Labour leader.
Ah, yeah. Good question. Yeah, Keir Starmer. Yeah, all about him. Yeah.
Well, from what I understand, he's a pretty wealthy, posh, knighted. He's a knight, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a knight.
So this is the guy that's taking over for Corbyn.
Yeah. He's also a fanatical Remainer who was the architect of Labour's second referendum policy.
I'm just trying to make sense of it.
I think it's wrong. I mean, I think it is. Am I slow? Am I running slow, by the way?
No.
Okay. Are we ready? Are you recording now?
Yeah, I'm recording.
Sorry. No, I mean, it seems a bizarre decision. I mean, he seems to me exactly the wrong person to be Labour leader now. I mean, a lot of people are saying, you know, that Jeremy Corbyn was this disastrous leader who messed up an election and all this. Well, in 2017, Jeremy Corbyn came very, very close to winning the election. If it had gone on for a few more days, I reckon he would have won the election. In 2019, he lost because he was maneuvered into adopting a second referendum policy against his better judgment. And the architect of that policy was Keir Starmer. So what the Labour Party has done is they've chosen a North London MP, most of the country hates London, a posh, rich man, as I said, there's huge suspicion in the working class heartlands of posh, rich people, a knight, ditto, somebody who's 57. Puts him on the old side. In Britain, they tend to like politicians to be fairly young. A man.
What did he do to get knighted?
Oh, he was the head of the Crown Prosecution Service, which persecuted Julian Assange. So when Julian Assange was facing extradition proceedings, he was the man in charge. So, I mean, he ticks for me all the wrong boxes. I mean, unless I'm getting this completely wrong, the Labour Party has chosen, of all the candidates it could have chosen, the worst one. That's my own personal
view. Is he a Blairite or...?
Well, this isn't exactly clear. I mean, he says that he's going to continue with all of Corbyn's policies and that he's well to the left of Blair. I reckon he is a Blairite, ultimately. I think that's exactly what he is. I think he said all of that so as to get elected. Once he's elected leader, he'll gradually purge all of Corbyn's people. And then when he's purged them, he'll swing the whole party decisively to the right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The Queen is speaking, correct?
The Queen is speaking later today, so we'll see what she says. As I said, she's an important person in our lives. I mean, I don't want to give you the idea that everybody here is a fanatical royalist or anything like that, but you know, she's widely respected and wildly liked, so people will see what she says. She's in her 90s, so she's very much in the risk group, and of course if she becomes ill and if she dies, perish the thought, it'll be a blow for the country. It'll be a blow for the morale of the country during this time.
That means Charles becomes king, right?
That'll mean Charles will become king, yes. Because he's in his 70s, by the way. He'll be quite an old king, following a very old queen. So we'll see how that works out.
And the corona cases in the UK are ramping up.
They're ramping up, and we're following Italy. We're going in that direction. Whether we'll get there is another thing. I hope we don't, but we're getting about 700 plus people dying every day now.
Okay, and a couple more things that we can discuss real quickly before we do our video. Russia, Moscow at least seems to be stabilizing. I don't know about Russia, but Moscow seems to be. It's reached its peak. It seems.
It seems. We've had 2 days of the numbers falling, not just in Moscow, but overall in Russia. And that does suggest that, you know, it is past its peak now. By the way, the Russians are now testing furiously. They are now the European champions in testing. They've overtaken the Germans. So they're testing around 70,000 people a day. And that suggests that they got a fairly good sense of what's happening. And that gives one some hope that these figures are true. But we shall see. So just to give a sense of proportion, in Britain, over 700 people are dying every day. In Russia, the number of people who are being infected is around 580 every day. And I gather the total number of people who are dying is about 50. So it's a completely different picture. The funny thing is that the extent of the infection of the disease is much less in Russia than it is in Britain, but that in Russia, the quarantine is much tougher, much, much tougher.
Turkey also finally gave us some numbers, finally. Well, it's not looking good.
Not looking good at all. And Erdogan is finally admitting that he's got a catastrophe on his hands. And
18,000 confirmed cases.
Well, I know. But with a very, very low test rate. So, yeah. You know, very low test rate. So, I mean, that's probably a very unreliable figure. It's probably far, far worse. And there was a grotesque situation earlier today where the mayor of Istanbul said that 19 people had died in Istanbul. And then the Ministry of Health in Turkey said 16 people had died across the whole of Turkey. So that shows you that their numbers are still not to be entirely relied upon. But at least we're getting numbers. And at least the government is actually acknowledging that they've got a serious problem. And by the way, it may not be entirely a coincidence that Erdogan did what Erdogan always does when he's in trouble. He picked up the telephone and spoke to Putin. If the Russians really do have the situation under control, and we'll know this, I think we can't be sure for at least another couple of days. But if they do, I predict they'll be getting requests for help from Turkey, from Iran, from all sorts of other places.
So I also read that Sanofi, who makes Plaquenil for hydrochloroquine, I said I read they're finally going to start ramping up their production.
That's right.
Always puzzled me as to why they were holding out on really just blasting out the production for this, because from what I understand, whether it's taken in isolation or in combination with some other drugs, if you take it early, it works. It does the job.
Well,
and I know it was priced very, very cheap. It was like at about a dollar.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of posts written about why Sanofi was holding back, or it seemed that it was holding back. I don't want to say it was holding back. It seemed like it was holding back.
I've heard the same, Alex. I mean, I want to make it very clear. I've heard positive things about it, and I've heard people say that it makes no difference. I don't know which is true, and I'm not going to try and guess, but what I'm going to say is this. I suspect that the reason they haven't been producing it in large numbers is much to do with the fact that they don't, you know, that there are all sorts of games and battles going on within the pharmaceutical industry, and whatever the reason is, I'm sure that if you drill deep enough, money will always be there.
Yeah, it's very cheap.
It's very cheap.
I think they're not happy about that.
So why produce a cheap medicine in large numbers which might be effective when you can produce a much more expensive medicine and make much more money on it? So I would not surprise me. I mean, again, you know, we're not a medical channel. We're not medical people. We're not here to say one way or the other what works and what doesn't. But there are some scientific studies.
No, we're using logic. I mean,
yeah, we're using logic. And there's some studies which say that it does work, or it says it has a palliative effect. It doesn't do you any harm, apparently. So, you know, you would have thought.
No, it's been in the market for like 75 years or so.
Well, exactly. So why not produce more of it? But apparently, there's been resistance to doing that. So now that's been overcome, and we'll see what happens.
Let's find out. Alexander, should we do the video? You want to discuss about Atkinson getting fired, or maybe we do a video about Atkinson?
Well, let's do a video. It's an interesting story. And let's refresh our memory about that impeachment, which
no one talks about.
I know. What I want to say about the impeachment, and Trump has made this point, and he's absolutely dead right. If the US government did take its eye off the ball with this disease, this pandemic, Can you really be surprised, given that they were having to waste time on this bogus impeachment?
I was going to say the same, because now Schiff is now starting up a whole nother investigation into how the Trump administration is handling or has been handling the CV crisis. And I just sat there and said, this guy has got some serious balls to actually go after Trump on this, because it is because of him and Pelosi and the DNC and the Democrats that the U.S. couldn't focus on what was going on with CV and China during that December, January, say, time frame, because they were just mulling around with this stupid, dumb, asinine Ukraine phone call. And no one talks about him anymore. Do you hear anyone talking about him?
No, nobody talks about
Taylor.
I
even forgot some of these bozos. Who were the other bozos that were sitting there testifying?
Don't worry, Alex. I have a prodigious
Yovanovitch.
I remember them all. I remember them all. But let's save our ammunition.
Let's do a video on this.
A good video, because certainly a lot of people have forgotten about it or choosing to forget about it. I have forgotten nothing. It's the kind of thing that I tend to remember very, very well. So let's get back into and look into all of that, because frankly, I mean, that business looks even worse now than it did then. And it looks pretty bad then. Exactly.
What a disgrace. All right, let's get to our video.
Yeah.